Next is the gospel reading from John 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Here ends the text. Word search puzzles are popular. In them you find various words spelled up, down, across, and at angles. Usually these puzzles list the words you're looking for. Scripture tells us what sort of words we should be finding in every text, but our hearts are predisposed to find only some. For example, our hearts by nature find words like guilt, judgment, hell. You see them in the text. They jump off the page at you as if in bold-face type. No, you're not making this up. What else are we supposed to find in the words, my Father is the gardener, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit? So how is your fruit bearing? Bringing in a good crop this year? Circle the word guilt. What is the Lord going to do who cursed the fig tree that had no fruit, and ordered another unfruitful one cut down? Circle judgment too. You have no trouble finding it. What does Jesus say happens to cut off branches? They wither. Cut them off from the vine, a fruitless branch. Cut off from the vine, a fruitless branch can only wither. The only way a branch gets food and water is from the vine. Joined to the vine, a branch naturally produces fruit. Something is wrong, something's diseased, something's contrary to nature if it doesn't. And when that happens, the gardener cuts off the branch to stop it from wasting food and water the rest of the branches need. You see the word Jesus is really using when he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. In him, as you are by baptism, in him as you are by the words of forgiveness preached into your ears, in him as you are by virtue of his body and blood in you, you are like a branch attached to a vine. All for forgiveness, life, and salvation, he won for you by his holy life and his guilty death, are flowing into your very veins. The water of God, the word of God, the body and blood of God can't help but produce fruit. So when they don't, the text says the Father cutting fruitless branches off. In my experience, they cut themselves off. They don't use their baptism daily, so water doesn't get to them. They don't believe their absolution, so no food there. And they think it's no problem to go without eating his body and drinking his blood. Their own body preaches to them that they cannot do that with physical food and water. Yet their own soul believes, or rather unbelieves, that it can do that with spiritual food. When you cut off a fruitless branch, it may be as green as the rest. When it falls to the ground, it looks like it belongs still to the vine. But in a day or two, it begins to wither. Pick up your word search puzzle. Find the two L's next to each other and follow them. L-L-E-H. The God who is love, the God who doesn't raise his voice in the street and doesn't put out dimly burning wicks, says the fate of fruitless, cut-off branches is to wither. You may not feel the fruitlessness now. You may not feel the cutting. You may not feel the withering, because to all outward appearances, you're no different than living fruit-producing branches. But you will feel the fire and the burning. In a word search puzzle, you look for the unusual letters. You know if you have a Z in a word, you'll be able to search that out quickly. Tarzan might jump out if you heard the full force of the law just preached. Why Tarzan? Johnny Weissmuller, who was well known for portraying the vine-swinging man raised by apes, said when someone asked him for the best advice he could give them, he replied, "Don't let go of the vine." The law words we're predisposed to see in every text of Scripture condemn us completely, showing us that we are guilty because of what we have done and what we have failed to do. The answer then that pops off the page is, do something. Be better, different. Be Tarzan. Don't let go of the vine. Or in the words of Charles Swindoll, strengthen your grip. True enough. So how you do it? You intend to remember your baptism daily, don't you? You intend to be strong in the faith and absolution, that absolution forgives all your sins, don't you? You resolve to be more faithful in word and sacrament, but you don't end up holding any tighter. You don't feel weaker, less believing, or less Christian when you do. Don't hold tighter. You don't look a bit different than any other branch still on that vine. But you're Tarzan, having let go of the vine, yodeling your way not to the jungle floor below, but to hell. The answer to the law words our fallen nature searches out in every text is not more law like don't let go of the vine. Not more law telling us to do better, intend better, promise more. The word Tarzan isn't in our text at all. The word remain, abide, is. This is not the same word as hold on. Hold on implies the vine, implies the vine plays the game, crack the whip, trying to throw off branches, not holding on tightly enough. Vines don't do anything to get rid of branches. Vines don't spontaneously kick off healthy branches. On the contrary, they're constantly sending them food and water. The vine, Jesus, doesn't stop sending you the waters of baptism that he paid for and poured out of his wounded side. The vine, Jesus, doesn't stop sending you his body he gave over to his death or the blood he shed to cover your sins. So much does the vine want to keep every one of its branches that it takes even the manure of life and converts it into food usable to sustain, grow, and fruit its branches. Ah, but now you're stuck on the word fruit. That word you don't have to search at all for it's there in boldface, all caps, and it screams out at you. 6 of the 7 times John has the word in his gospel are in this text. And you hear fruit as a law word rather than an empowering one. As if when the Lord said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, he was demanding something from you rather than giving something to you. So before F-R-U-I-T burns onto your retinas, let's look closer at the text. You are a branch before you bear fruit. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He does not say, you may be, you could be, or shall be branches, but are branches. And the text certainly does not say, if you bear fruit, you become branches. You know that can't be true. Fruitfulness doesn't make a branch part of a vine. It merely shows that it is. It must be a branch before it can produce fruit. Jesus declares your branches. You've been sprouted from the tree of the cross. You sprung from the dry wood when the waters of baptism brought you life. You sprouted from the dead stump when the words, I took your sins, I paid for them, I forgive you for them all, struck your ears and caused you to trust them. And you're not unhealthy, diseased, decaying branches. You're attached to the healthy, green, risen Jesus. Part of the problem with this word search is the word prunes. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Most English translations have prune, but that Greek word never means that anywhere, inside or outside of the New Testament. In fact, the verb that it translates, in quotes, is the same as the noun in the very next sentence. And you'll hear it. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he katharai. You are already katharoi. Every branch that bears fruit, he cleans. You are already clean. You have to go back to chapter 13 of John to get the full import of these words. There Jesus says, you are clean, but not all of you. He is singling out Judas by those words in an attempt to bring him to repentance. But note whom Jesus says are clean already. Feeble disciples who are going to abandon him are nevertheless clean. Volatile Peter, who will deny his Lord with oath three times, is still one of the clean ones. Thomas, who will almost doubt himself to death, is nonetheless clean. Those confessing their sins, those not defending their sins, those wishing to be free of their sins are not the unclean, fruitless branches that will be cut off and thrown into the fire. Either you have Jesus or you have your sins. Either Jesus has your sins or you do. If you defend them, if you excuse them, if you promise to do better against them next time, well, then you still have your sins. You are not already clean, and Jesus can't clean you as he does the fruit-bearing branches. There's that word fruit again. And not only that, if you search just a little bit harder, you'll see that it's not just fruit. It's much fruit. The insert makes it worse by interpreting it in the future. It has Jesus say, if a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Well, it's not a future. It's an indicative. Not he will bear fruit sometime in the future, but he bears much fruit now. Indicatives indicate what is going on now. There is a promise here, as there is in that very last verse. This is my Father's glory, that you should bear much fruit. The construction, that construction in Greek, indicates that from the Father's point of view, there is nothing that can stop you from bearing much fruit. You still haven't seen the gospel staring back at you in big, black, comforting letters. What fruit is specifically mentioned in this text? What fruit do the words of the vine produce in the branches? Helping the poor? Giving to the church? Being a better Christian? Nope. Prayer. Ask whatever you wish. Remaining in the vine and in the vine's words produces the fruit of prayer. And the word used here for word lays stress on the fact that God spoke more than on what he said. The divine word of Jesus echoes every day in your life. I baptize you into heaven. The words of Jesus echo in every absolution. I have sent your sins away from you as far as east is from west. The words of Jesus given and shed for you echo over every sin, shortcoming, and failure. Jesus' words to us bring forth words from us. That's prayer. This is the much fruit Jesus promises he will produce in us, his branches. And ain't that so? His our help in the name of the Lord, well, that produces our who made heaven and earth. His oh give thanks unto the Lord produces, and his mercy endureth forever. His depart in peace echoes in us till it produces our amen. What I'm saying is that in this text, indeed in every text of Scripture, we are not playing word search. The saving, empowering, sanctifying word is searching for us. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.